Welcome to New Life Church teaching series, Go Fish, with the lesson titled, The Kingdom of God is a Circumstance. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
Yeah, with Go Fish, the scripture that is complementary with the idea, and of course the theme is Matthew 4:19, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so we can see that he didn't say, follow me and I'll make you rich.
That's right.
Didn't say that. Didn't say, follow me, you'd be famous. He didn't say, he said he'd be fisher of men, and most fishermen that I've been around kind of stink like fish. So that's the great reward you have of being a really good fisher of men. You're going to smell like fish a little bit. You're going to smell a little bit like those that you're catching and helping to bring into the kingdom of God. And if I could just push a button today and just put in your spirit, just automatically, real quickly, just a thought to springboard off of, it would be this. The kingdom of God is not a thing. The kingdom of God's a circumstance. In other words, we find ourselves on planet Earth right now, and there's a human way of trying to bring definition to the kingdom of God is it's in heaven and it's come, I'm going there, and but we're on the earth and we're not there. We're here, but yet we're members of the kingdom of God, and we know that the kingdom of God is speaking about, it's a spiritual language. So how do I translate the terminology, the kingdom of God? How can I translate that into right now? The way you translate the kingdom of God right now is it's a set of circumstances. When it's a set of circumstances, it goes spiritual. When you say, well, you walk around with your chest poked out saying, well, I'm a member of the kingdom of God. That's okay, but it doesn't do anybody any good. The kingdom of God goes spiritual, goes spiritually viral when you find yourself walking into a set of circumstances in your life or somebody else's. All of a sudden, the kingdom starts to hit the earth right there.
That's good.
That's where it hits. That's where the stuff's happening. And we are in a natural body trying to bring a supernatural happening to the earth. But just consider, it's a circumstance. If I can put that in you, every set of circumstances is the opportunity for the kingdom of God to be expressed on this earth. And if you want to run into the Holy Spirit, it's when you run into a set of circumstances means you now have an opportunity to go spiritually viral. And when it goes viral, all of a sudden it starts getting contagious, and it'll hit over here, and it'll hit over there, and it'll hit over here, and all of a sudden it's everybody's. You can say, "Hey, I got a story to tell you about what happened this week," I had this happen, but this is what happened, and this happened, and God, I don't know what God. It's like God showed up, and then a set of circumstances that seemed impossible. Oh me, somehow it not only was it possible, it was glorious. What happens? The kingdom of God, it's the earth.
Yeah.
And it's in the set of circumstances. So if you want to find your next encounter with the kingdom, it's no further than your next set of circumstances in life. So with that in mind and with that spiritual backdrop, now let's go in to go fish as the pastors led us in and see how can that be a mindset? There again, I'm not wanting to stray too far from how our pastor is leading us now. I love his illustrations. He's teaching me. I'm trying to learn how to use some of his illustrations. So say, Alan, that's good. Thank you very much. I feel much better. Now, can you tell me what that picture is? I mean, it's a famous picture. I'm sure you all remember it. It's not... Is what? 9/11. Okay. Well, what about this one? Can you see they're looking at something, right?
Yeah.
You've hit it. It is. It's 9/11. It's the people that were standing there looking at the Twin Towers. They have an expression. They're shocked. They're just in awe at what just happened. Well, what you're seeing there is they are witnessing the destruction of the Twin Towers. So they left that place of observation. And can you imagine the next day and the next week and the next month of their stories that they told of witnessing the destruction of the Twin Towers? Must have been it would have to have been incredible. Point being, if they are witnesses, they are witnesses to a reality. Not only are they witnesses to a reality, they're witnesses to a spiritual reality. Twin Towers is just more than reality. It was a spiritual reality. It was very symbolic. And I'm not going into all of that, but they were spiritual witnesses. So it starts bringing definition, and we got this title of Go Fish, of what is a witness? What we say, well, let's go witness. Well, what is a witness? A witness is somebody who gives a report on what they've seen.
That's good.
I was there.
Yeah.
So therefore, they can be a witness. Now, I'm going to give you another picture here and see. I'm not sure if anybody can get this one, but this is a witness who stretches the truth a lot. This is a witness who doesn't give an accurate report. And there again, I'm sure none of y'all will identify with this one. Oh my. I had more of them than I thought, Pastor.
Unreliable witness.
Yes, unreliable witness. That one's self-explanatory. So let's don't do that one. A witness. Now, can anybody tell me who this one is? Benjamin Franklin. He gets a lot of bad press, but he's also had I don't like it when people give him bad press. You could give me a lot of bad press, but I'd rather for you to talk about the things that I've done well and help me cover the things that I haven't done well. Benjamin Franklin was a witness. Here again, you got to hear what I'm saying. A witness is a person who was there. A witness is a person who gives a truthful account of what they saw. There's power in that. You're convinced because we even go as far as to say he was an eyewitness. What's an eyewitness? An eyewitness is a first generation witness. So we see, as we get this definition, this was Benjamin Franklin. He had a request for prayer at the Constitutional Convention. This is July 28, 1787. We find maybe I put the definition here. The Constitutional Convention had been meeting for 5 weeks. This was the convention of the Constitution, and for 5 weeks, and had hit a perilous deadlock. The large states were insisting that congressional representation be based on population. The smaller states wanted a one state, one vote rule. The entire effort to create a stronger union was in jeopardy. 81-year-old Benjamin Franklin, 81 years old now, quiet during most of these deliberations. Then he addressed the group. According to James Madison's notes, here is what happened next. Now, I will read this to you, and you can read it with me if you will, but take in the content. In the beginning of the contest with Britain, when we were sensible of danger, We had daily prayers in this room for the divine protection. He was reminding them. Our prayers, sir, were heard and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. He's saying they were an eyewitness of this providence. I can feel the presence of the Spirit. To that kind providence, we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. That is joy, hope. Isn't that something? He's saying to them, hey, we're eyewitnesses to having favor with the Creator, divine providence. I was there, he said. Do I have to remind you? And have we forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine we no longer need its assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? How can he be a witness to this? Because he was there.
That's right.
He was there before, and that he was there. So therefore, when he witnessed to this group again, when he witnessed to them, it had power. It had power. Why? Because he was there. Why do we come to church? It's opportunity for you to be an eyewitness and watch God move among his people.
Amen. That's good.
Then we can leave and we can tell people about what I've seen God do.
Come on.
I can tell you about what he's done in me. I'm an eyewitness.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? What is a witness? It's a person who makes a statement about what he or she knows or has seen. A witness is a person that establishes truth. Benjamin Franklin was just telling them the truth, because he was a witness of what he had experienced. Remember this, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What happened to Benjamin Franklin? The Holy Spirit came upon him. And he was a witness unto the truth. I can tell you a truth. And a truth can be a truth. But to have a truth empowered by the Holy Spirit is something different. It will deliver. It will hit its mark. Why? Because it has been empowered with the Spirit. How do I get this empowerment? I just need to be there and see it. I need to have a front row seat to see the things that God has done. You can be a secondhand witness, but oh, to be an eyewitness. To be an eyewitness. Now, with that in mind, understand that the pastor, sometime or another, I made this statement that you are the reputation of Christ. And he said, that's what you got to speak on. I said, oh, okay. You are the reputation. It's the reputation that precedes you. Your reputation precedes you. Now, let me bring you some understanding. Jesus said to his disciples in Acts 1:8, you shall be witnesses unto me. Oh. You see, when I stand up here and speak or preach or just talk, whatever you want to call it, I'm not talking to you. That's how I can do it. I'm talking unto him. Before you. I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to him before you. Y'all can just sit around and listen to my conversation to him. Because I speak to him before you. I don't speak to you before him. So to be a witness, you're doing it unto him. So if something happens, and it's amazing to me, when you have truly witnessed God moving in your life, when you've truly had it, truly witnessed it, those that need to hear it will find you. It's amazing. They'll find you. They'll find you. It's like I've had people come up to me and say, Alan, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm supposed to come ask you to tell me something. I had somebody last week said, Alan, you got something to tell me. And I'm saying, like, I got something to tell you. What in the world? It'll find you. We talked 2 or 3 minutes and I did have something to tell them. But what I told them was something that I knew I could be a witness about him to them.
Yeah, come on.
It's not about me. Don't bring a witness about you.
Come on.
On how many you led to the Lord. Come on. How many you led to the Lord.
Wow.
Listen, if some, I had this one person who's very braggish. I couldn't help it. Said, Alan, I've led this many to the Lord. I said, that's good. Now, how many have you run away from the Lord? If we're going to keep score, let's do it all.
Oh,
right. If we're going to keep score, let's just go across the board. Did you run around 100 to get 2? I don't need to say no more about that. All right, now he went on and he said this, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be a witness unto me. So where does the anointing come from? If I have any anointing here, it's because I'm speaking unto him. You get to listen. But I'm speaking unto him. And it's from there that the anointing comes. So if you hear anything that's anointing, it's coming from him, not from me. It is important that I'm speaking unto him. If you are a witness to what he has done, you know, it's very hard to witness without wanting to cry. Have you noticed that? When you hit the anointing, it's just something about you leak. Right? If it's not your eyes, it's your nose. Dustin come up here last week and I thought, oh my God, somebody get him a towel or something. He's going to slobber all over everything. But it's when the Spirit hits you, you tend to leak.
Come on.
I don't know if he's trying to keep you humble or what, but it's the best cry you ever had. Because we're going to witness and we're going to do it unto him. The question is not, shall we be witnesses? The real question is, what kind of witness are we? Are we a witness to tragedies all the time? Twin Towers. I'm going to give you a witness of what happened on the news and what happened in Russia and what happened over here. I wouldn't mention Trump and Clinton, but I'm going to leave that one out. I could give all these witness reports. I'm being a witness in my conversation. Do you get it?
That's good, Alan. Come on.
I'm witnessing just the same. A witness means you are giving an account of what you experienced. The problem with soulless witness is this. You mix memory with reality. And most of us need our memory healed. A witness. If you witness unto him, you're getting it fresh every time. You can tell the same stories 150 times, and you say it unto him, it's fresh every time the person hears it. It's amazing. Anyway, how are we going to be a witness? To tragedies all the time or to the goodness of God? They're both there. Either way, whatever we do, we are a witness. Now, that being true, how do I talk to someone about Jesus? In mind, going fishing here. First, we must understand that there is but one soul winner and it is not us. You could, that's a wonderful place. Say, glory, hallelujah, I think I can do this.
Yeah.
I think you can do this. Not but one soul winner. It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Come on.
Isn't that wonderful? We are not salesmen and saleswomen for God trying to talk people into buying eternal life.
Come on.
My. It doesn't work that way. You don't talk. If you talk somebody into it, that means you can talk somebody out of it.
Come on.
But if you get it from him, no one can steal it.
Come on.
You got it. Now, think about this. Remember what the scripture says. The condition of man is without Christ. It says this. You're dead. This is not just using language lightly. When you're without Christ, you're just dead. That's your condition. If you're here and you're lost or you never asked Jesus into your heart and you're miserable and you just want life eternal, you want something different than you got, what's the definition of your condition? Is you're dead. Ephesians 2:1 says this, and you he made what? Alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. So we went from being dead to being alive. Now, I venture to say, as a lot of Christians, I'm sure they're alive, but I want to poke them to make sure. Be sure they can wiggle or something there. You cannot reason or convince a corpse into life. Try it. Listen, watch this one. A corpse has only one great need, and that is life. That's just it. You can go to a corpse and try to sell it pops and pans. You won't get even a stinking smile. A corpse cannot use but one thing, and that's life.
Come on.
Somebody without Christ can't use but one thing, and that's life.
That's right. Come on.
Good news is, you ain't got it, but you know the one that has.
Come on.
And it's not even up to you. Now, listen, the Holy Spirit stacks the deck in our favor. There's only one life giver, and it is the Holy Spirit. It isn't our job to convince or convict. The best approach to evangelism is to be just plain honest. It's all it takes. Listen, you're an eyewitness. Just be plain honest. Just tell what God did for you. That's how you're a witness. So, Alan, we need to have training on evangelism. We don't need training on evangelism. You just need to be a witness. See, a witness is what does it. I'm going to show you how important God's plan of evangelism is here in just a minute. We are not inadequate to talk about what Christ has done for us. You're not inadequate. You see, God, in your experience with him, is preparing you to be an eyewitness.
That's good, Alan.
We don't teach you how to evangelize. God does.
Follow me.
Follow me, he says. So we find ourselves at church and we're here for training and teaching, yes. But my teaching today is telling you what God's teaching you, how His methods are. We're going to discover here in just a minute how He's taking the gospel to the world. Colossians 2 says this, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of the flesh, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us our sins. If you are alive in Christ, if you're going to witness somebody to someone with anointing, and that's the anointing of the Holy Spirit, if you're going to do that, it says that when you become spiritually alive is when you plug into Christ. You plug it into the socket where the supernatural power is. You see, God made you alive where? Does anybody feel like you're dead? Listen, if you're a believer and you're just totally dead, you're unplugged. You're just unplugged. You got to get plugged back into the life. Why do we refer to Jesus here? Because we want to stay plugged into the power. We know where it comes from. It comes from Christ. Our life comes from Christ. So we tell you. I'm telling you because I'm talking to Him. And I can feel it. And He's saying, stay plugged into Him. Just plug into Jesus. If this morning you feel a little powerless, you're getting unplugged, plug back in. You say, well, Alan, how did I do that? I don't know. Just ask Him. Just do it. Just do it. God made you alive. You are light because God has done a work in your life. Don't try to shine. Just be authentic. Just be real. Be transparent. See, listen. If you're not transparent, they can't see God. How do they see God in you? Because you're transparent. When you're transparent, they see God. If they see you, they can't see God. Why do we stay humble? Humble, humility is transparency.
That's good. Yeah.
Pride is closure. Look at me. He might be in there, but I can't see. Oh, man, how can I make this one? You can walk through a wall if you're 100% transparent. You can walk through anything in life if you're transparent before Him. You can move anywhere. You can go anywhere because of your transparency. Works well for me because you don't have to remember nothing when you're transparent. If you're over 60, you'll understand that one now. To let your light shine demands no more than honesty. Now, I'm going to move here a little quicker. Oh my goodness, look at my time. Jesus teaches Nicodemus and about the Holy Spirit and salvation. If you were to turn to John there right quickly, and John in chapter 3, if you got your Bibles, turn there. I don't have these all up there. I got a few of them, but if you would turn to John chapter 3, and I'm going to, you know the story I know of Nicodemus here, and it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb or be born? And be born. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Now watch verse 8. The wind bloweth where it list, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and whether it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now, let's look up here again. Jesus answered, verily, truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of the water and the Spirit. If you're in here today and you've never been born again, you said, Alan, I don't know what that means. But when I give an invitation, if you'll come up here, we will share it with you more in detail where you will know what it means. And he goes on to say, flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at any of my sayings. You must be born again. Now look in verse 8. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Here's the deal. Here's what he's saying. The Holy Spirit precedes your witnessing. See, the wind's out there blowing. Now, I don't know where it's blowing. It's talking about the Spirit. The wind blows everywhere it pleases. I don't know who. You see, here's the deal. If I witness to someone that the wind's not blowing on, nothing's going to happen. You'll just make them mad. That's the reason I say I don't know how many you led to the Lord. I don't know how many you run off. The Holy Spirit prepares the heart on the other side. If you're in here and the Holy Spirit's not dealing with you, there's nothing I can say. It's going to help you or change you. The only thing I can tell you, the Spirit blows where He wants to blow. How can you know if the Holy Spirit is blowing on you? It's because you have a concern. If you have a concern in your heart that, well, I don't know. I don't know where I am. If you have a concern that you need some help, I feel dead and I'm not alive and I need something. If you're sitting there and you're not concerned and you're lost as a goose, just stay lost because I can't help you. That wasn't pretty.
That was a good description.
I know I was doctrinally sound. I just seemed like I could have put it in a better vehicle. All right. But there, that's done out there now. But you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So what he's telling us is the Holy Spirit's out there visiting people.
That's right.
And I don't know who it is. But this you can know. The Holy Spirit will also lead you to circumstances that he's already touching the heart on the other side.
There you go.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's not that you convinced anybody. The Holy Spirit's stacking the deck.
That's good.
He's working on the other end. If you run into somebody and you feel like, oh, I'm supposed to witness them, and you start and they're not the least bit interested, just quit. It's all right. I remember when I was really young, I was like a bumper car. I'd run into this and witness and this, and I'd bounce off of them. I'm like, boy, this ain't working out too good. And until the Lord led me into understanding that His Spirit's got to work on the other end, and the only thing I'm going to do is a delivery boy, and I'm delivering a package to a destination. He's already prepared to receive it.
That's good. Yeah.
So it's just amazing how good at it you think you can get. Amen. Now, let me move right quickly. In the opening chapter of Acts, we are told, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You shall receive power. You see, it's amazing to me. We've got the Holy Spirit in us, and then the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and you have a spiritual train wreck, and you cry. You got him in, he comes on. See, I know I got the Holy Spirit in me, but I can tell when it's coming on me.
Yeah.
And when he comes on you, you're going to be a mess. Now, I'll tell you up front, you're going to be embarrassing. You're going to be a mess. But we learn here that he can not only be in, he can come upon. And I've noticed when that thing comes on you and you got it in you, it's like, oh, and I'm sitting there like, oh, no, they're going to touch. And when it comes on and in, then they lock and bam, here I go. I'll say things I wouldn't normally say. I'll do things I wouldn't normally do. And all of a sudden I come peculiar because I've been energized with power. Some people call that a baptism. I don't care what you want to call it. Only thing I can tell you is when the one that's in, the one that's out, when they hook up and bam, here we go. As Dustin says, boom. This is God's program. Now watch this. This is God's program for accomplishing all that has happened, what must happen, and what will happen before the Lord's return. This is God's plan of saving the world. What is it that you'll be a witness? That's His plan. That's it. You just got the top secret papers right there. You got it. God's plan saving the world is that you'll be a witness. It is all there in one verse. You shall be my witness. But it's packed verse. It's packed. But God has no other strategy to win the world. There is not any others. You can say, well, if they could only see miracles. Let me tell you something. It's not the miracle. It's the person who gives the witness of the miracle. Okay, did you hear that? To see a miracle without a witness telling it has no power. He anoints the witness. The miracle is just the material for the witness to give. The miracle is not baptized, the witness is.
Come on,
you got to hear this. We'll skip the part, the only part that works. God has no other plan. This is it. This is the plan. And I'm minimizing miracles, no, but I'm maximizing witnesses, yes.
Yeah, come on.
How do we do it? Well, it is our talking about Him and relating to others, what He is and what He's done, and that is the whole program of reaching a lost world. So as you live your life, as we come here, as we pray for people, I think at the end of the services each week, I think perhaps Brian and a few others are going to be over here. If anybody has any physical needs to be prayed for, or financial needs, or relational needs, or emotional needs, Brian will be over here. This will probably put it in the bulletin also so everybody knows. We have a standing invitation for prayer at the end of the service for any of those needs. And if you want to up your witnessing credentials, you might want to stay and pray.
Come on.
Because you might see something. You might witness something. You might. If you're real dry, stay and watch.
Yeah.
Now, when we are a living witness, we will arrest the darkness of this age. You got to understand, this is God's plan. That you're to be witnesses. And He's going to anoint you with His Spirit. And you're going to do it unto Him. This is His plan. Shutting down darkness. Huh? Yeah, you don't believe me, do you? Does anybody believe me?
Yeah.
Listen, God had Israel having three feasts. Had Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Passover, y'all remember Passover. They were in there, and the death angel came, and they were in captivity, and they sprinkled the blood post over the doors, and the death angel passed over them. So they got, God told them to have a feast called Passover. Now, why did they have a feast called Passover? It's so that they would turn into witnesses of what God had done.
That's right. Yeah.
Can anybody hear what I'm saying? And he said, now do one of Pentecost. So they did a feast called Pentecost. And y'all know Pentecost when the Spirit came, Acts chapter 2, and all this stuff happened. So they did one of Pentecost. Why? Because it gave them something to witness unto. And they had one of Tabernacles, and that's when God's Spirit, Tabernacle. Why did they have the feast? Why do we do communion? Gives us something to witness unto. Let me interject this right quickly. I'm a dairy farmer, so let me say this. We're not milking communion for all it's worth.
That's right. Come on.
There's a whole lot more in communion what we're seeing.
Yeah. Come on.
Things can happen taking communion. All types of healings and encounters with the Spirit. Boy, I could go all day right there. I could tell you story after story after story that will create your resume of being a witness. It'll grow. Of the things that you've witnessed firsthand that God's done. Why do we put ourselves into prayer meeting and worship on Sundays and communion? Why do we do all this? Just to up what we witness God say and God do. As leaders of this church, we want it that when you come here, it's very important and real to us that you get to encounter real stuff. So you can be a real witness. Will you understand and receive what I'm saying? This church should double by Sunday. And if I don't hurry up and go too late, I'm going to lose what we got. All darkness will flee and the lost will be won by this one simple process of being a witness unto the truth. Remember Paul when he wrote Corinthians, this is what he said. An ambassador is to be guilty of the reputation of the one in which he or she serves. So we see here, this is what he says. Paul says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of what?
Reconciliation.
Now, who reconciled the world? Christ did. But he gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Somebody say, hooray. Yeah, glory. Wow. Not counting people's sins against them. Does anybody really like that one?
Yes.
I am so happy. I mean, wow. I can be a witness right there. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. You're kidding. We are therefore Christ ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us. Oh my goodness. Since I'm in him and he's in me, God's going to make this appeal to the world that their sins are forgiven. And through us, he's going to make that appeal. Why? Because we're an ambassador. And so the reputation of Christ, oh my goodness. The reputation of Christ is that our reputation needs to precede us. And our reputation is we're offering what Christ has to offer the world. Not only that, it's working.
Yeah.
It works.
That's
Because we're an ambassador. What's an ambassador? A ambassador is to be guilty of the reputation of the one in which he or she serves. We're to be guilty of the reputation of saving the lost and mending the brokenhearted. And you got to understand, if you're truly sent as a witness, it works. You're doing it unto him. Don't say, well, Alan, I'm too scared. Well, it's okay, but do it unto him. Not one of us are not scared. Now, here's what happens on the other end. We have a prepared heart. All I need to do is carry on a normal conversation about ordinary things when I'm talking to people and just trust the Lord to find an opening. If there is an opening, then this is a prepared heart and that person will respond. Just the way it is. The work of witnessing is impossible until the Holy Spirit has made him ready. Remember that. Holy Spirit working on the other end. I'm going to free you up a little more. The Holy Spirit is the one who is preparing, not you. Now, we do not need to pray for the Holy Spirit to prepare hearts. Now, this one's going to mess up your theology just a little. We do not need to pray for the Holy Spirit to prepare hearts. That's the Holy Spirit's job already. It's not like he's too busy over here and you're going to try to pray him over here. Now, watch it. He is preparing them. He has them prepared all around us. You remember this verse? Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, the Lord Jesus says, for they are white already to harvest. What that means is he's already got more to do than we can get done, so don't need to be praying for no more. We need to get done what's already been done. That make sense to you? He said, look out there, the fields are white in the harvest. I'm a farmer, and I cut some of my crop just a week ago. And you cut it in what you call early dough, before hard dent. And early dough means that when the cows eat the grain, that the grain's soft enough still that they can digest it. When it gets to hard dent, the grains are so hard that it'll go completely through the cow, and the cow gets no good out of it. Do you know what color the grain is in early dough? White.
Real.
Yes. It's white. In other words, there'll be a time that it might get to hard dent. So get them while they're white. He's prepared them. Look into the fields, the Lord says, for they are white already to harvest. Now, so the Holy Spirit's got people out there that's white and ready to harvest. Our job is to be an anointed witness. The understanding the Holy Spirit's working on the other end. We're just working with the Holy Spirit on the circumstance that will arise that we can encounter them. You can pick them off. You won't have to say how many did you lose. You didn't have none. You want everyone you came into contact with. Our job is simply to be available to the Lord that as we make contact from day to day, we can be used of him to find who they are and just be a witness of what we have seen. Jesus tells us about the Holy Spirit and witnessing here in John 16:7. Nevertheless, he says, I tell you the truth, speaking to his disciples, it is to your advantage that I go away. Now, that's what I was telling you, and I put this question up here. They didn't believe that, and it was hard for us to believe. It's hard for us to believe that it's good for Jesus not to be here right now in his bodily form. That's hard for us to believe. Well, if Jesus had just come on back now. But you got to understand something. Jesus told his disciples he had to leave. The reason he had to leave is because they would be focused on him and not his spirit. So he took him. He said, I've got to get out of the way. I'm going to send you my spirit. Because if he was here, we would be looking for him to do the work. Come on. We would be looking for him to do the work. We kind of get in the same thing with the pastor. Well, pastor's supposed to do the word. This is one pastor that understands that truth. He can't do the only thing. If he can prepare the body to be a witness, is the best he can do. So it goes on to say, for he said, if I do not go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, it didn't say that he's going to spend the Holy Spirit to make you feel good. It didn't say he was going to send you the Holy Spirit for you to get a bunch of stuff. First thing he said was, he's going to send the Holy Spirit to convict the world. That's the first job of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's convicting the world out there now. We just need more berry pickers or harvesters or something. They're dangling off the trees out there everywhere now. But we can't understand that the circumstances of life is the opportunity for me to tell somebody what Jesus has done for me. I've seen Jesus do this. I've seen him do that. No, we'd rather say, did you hear what's said about Trump? Did you hear what's said about Clinton? Did you hear what's said about this? Well, did you see the news last night over here? Listen, we'll tell the news 98% of the time. We might get around to the gospel once a month. But you're witnessing unto the news. I don't have nothing wrong with the news. It's just, well, there it is. Y'all figured it out. Jesus went where? He went to the needy first. Isn't that amazing? John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I hope you can hear that. When you go to somebody and you want to be a witness, you don't tell them everything they did wrong and how they need to straighten up. See, Jesus didn't. He didn't come to the world to condemn it. But that's what religion, the first thing it wants to do is just condemn everybody. Well, Al, now you know that. That ain't quite right in the Bible. Well, let's do first things first. Have you told them that God loves them?
Come on.
Let's do first things first. Have you told them that God... What if you told them that God loves them, they get God and all that other stuff you want to condemn them before it gets worked out? Just a thought. Just a passing thought. It's amazing. Just in fallen man to condemn everybody else, but be easy on me. But just think about it. Look at it. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn it. That's not our message. Here's our message. But to save the world through him. That's the message. He's not called you to be a judge. He's called you to be a witness. A witness unto you, what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong? No. A witness of what you have been a first eye. You were there. You saw it. You're there. You tell him what he did. You want more to witness on, ask him to change your heart more.
Come on.
Give you more material.
That's good.
Got a question. I'm closing right now. I went over just a little bit. Reason we don't like to go over is we got kids upstairs. And I hope the clock doesn't bother y'all. Reason we got a clock is because we love our workers upstairs. And we've made a promise to them as leaders that if y'all will train and we'll look after these children, we'll be sure that about the time they go to climbing off the walls, we'll let them come back to their parents. Not a thing about that spiritual. We know that. But God love them. We want them to keep doing it and enjoy it, and we want to honor them. And y'all forgive me up there. I infringed on that just a little. And I was the main one that said, I won't ever do that. And there I went and done it. See, there we go. So, I got a question. Y'all can send the kids down just to get me off the hook if you want to. I got a question to ask you right here. Here it is. Will you go? This is my call. Will you be available to be a witness and go? All you got to go with is what God's done for you. That's all you got to do. You can tell people what God did for somebody else, and that works pretty good, but it's better when you tell them what it did for you. That's my call. Where you go? Next one is, will you be a witness unto the truth? You're not going to be a Pinocchio here. You know, you can't help God. If you Pinocchio it, you'll lose the anointing on it. You got to be clear and accurate in what God's done. Perhaps you have nothing to witness about. If you've not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, today's your day. And we're going to give you something to witness about. I don't want you to be scared of salvation. It might scare you because you ain't never felt that good. The feeling good scares you, it might scare you a little bit. But we promise you that when you go from dead to alive, I promise you, you're going to like it. Now, I got a message to believers. If you're dead, you need to be alive. A dead witness doesn't work very well. It smells. You know how somebody's really alive? They smell like fish. Let's stand. Now, if you want prayer for salvation, I do ask you to come up, and you just come straight to me, and me and the pastor will clean yourself. I mean, me and the pastor will lead you there ourselves. If you're lost and you don't know, if you're not sure, come. If you want to sit there, that's fine. Come up after. We don't care how you do it. But I am challenging you to make a decision today. And another one I've got for you is, will you be a witness? Say, Alan, I hadn't been being one. I understand it a little better now. Since you've explained it, I think I do. If you sign up for that, let the Lord know today. You can come up here. You can do it where you're standing. We don't care. Just do it. So, Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray if there's anything been said that's of you, I pray it'll go to our hearts. And if anything's missed, I pray that people give me grace and say he's just a dairy farmer doing the best he can. I'm okay with that. But, Lord, if anything that's been said is of you, I pray it'll quicken our hearts. Dear God in heaven, I'm praying for signs and wonders and miracles, healings, salvations and healings, and people that come in sad, they leave happy and broken hearts mended. Dear God, we need some more material to be witnesses on. I know we hadn't used what we got too good yet, but I'm asking that you give us more and let it start in us, because we'll make ourselves available in Jesus' name. Let's sing, let's worship. Now listen, make a decision for God is my prayer.